And the church say amen. He does give us peace in the midst of the storm. Thank the Lord for that, because he is the Prince of Peace. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 32. No, excuse me, first of all, chapter 34. This will be our text. Exodus chapter 34, beginning at verse 5. And this is part two of the sermon entitled, The God Who Forgives. The God Who Forgives. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 5, it reads, when you have, just say amen. Okay. It says, Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Verse 8. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Then he says, If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sins, and take us as your inheritance. Again, brothers and sisters, men and women, I want to again bring you this subject, what we've been talking about. And that's forgiveness of sin, the God who forgives. I thank the Lord that as I continue to study this passage of scripture, that it shows how wretched that I am, and in fact the greatness of our God who forgives sin. It is a blessing to know that your sins can be forgiven, as we have read in Romans chapter 4 concerning that passage. And as I have spoken last week, if you truly want to be blessed, then you ought to be blessed like this, that the Lord has not imputed iniquity to your account, that you are blessed to have your sins forgiven. Because if your sin is not forgiven, you will pay the price for your sins, as the scripture teaches us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where it says, For the wages of sin is death. Last time I was beginning to share with you the background concerning about this magnificent event that took place as the servant of the Lord who had the opportunity to talk to the Lord face to face. But I want to draw your attention back to chapter 32 in order for us to grab hold of this magnificent passage of scripture in chapter 34. We must see, or we must go along and see how did this come about. We must see how it is that God is so gracious. And for that, we must see the hideous or the hideousness of sin. Again, people do not know what sin is. Sometimes we, even as believers, have not really grabbed the concept of how terrible sin really is. So go with me, and I pray that you go along with me. I pray that you bear with me as we, the Lord, begin to show us how he is so merciful and so kind. And especially for us who are Christians, that we can even more be in such a awe and adoration of God our Father, who have forgiven us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Sunday school lesson was telling us how that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And we understood that that'd be the Holy Spirit, how he justify us, how he would glorify us, how he enable us to live holy and righteous before him. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual. He didn't say just some. He said every spiritual blessing. So go with me to Exodus chapter 32, and we'll begin getting into this a little bit. Again, let me just paint the picture for you. Again, as we have said, from chapter 19 to 31, the servant of the Lord, the slave of the Lord, which is Moses, He's now up in the mountain receiving the commandments, the religious laws, the civil laws that will form the nation of Israel that God now has given to him. You can read it for yourself, and I pray that you do go and read it for yourself from chapter 19 up to this point here, to where God had did magnificent and spectacular things to them. They had the experience of experienced the true living God. One of Brother Rashad and all of us, we've been studying about this. One of our favorites is the fact that how that they stood before God and God audibly by his voice gave his commandment to him that all the children of Israel had heard this. Matter of fact, as I said before, that God had delivered the children of Israel from the Egyptian slavery. And also, we know that in them chapters that God had led them through the Red Sea. That was magnificent in itself. To imagine yourself going through the Red Sea with both you going right through it with all the walls of the water standing heaped up, and the ground is made dry to where you'll be able to cross through this. This is what the children of Israel experienced. And also in the wilderness, as they traveled, when they became hungry and thirsty, the Lord Jehovah, the one who provided this, the existing one, he fed them and gave them water also out of the rock. So he was doing great and magnificent things in their lives. They was able to see the greatness of God. They were able to see how he is able to provide all their needs. Then also they seen the glory and the power of God descending on Mount Sinai. And the Bible says that when God had descended on Mount Sinai, that the whole mountain was covered in smoke. Not just part of the mountain, the whole mountain was covered in smoke. And they see the cloud, and they received the law of God, as God, as I said before, gave them the law. As you would read in chapter 19, when they came and consecrated themselves, as God had told Moses, to tell the people, you got 3 days to get yourself right, because I am coming descending. Don't let no one touch this mountain. Because in the day that they touch it, even the base of the mountain, they would die. That's just how holy God is. And that's what we need to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, men and women. And again, my purpose is to target those who are not in Christ. You must understand that you need your sins forgiven. The greatest need that you need. Hear me out, please. The greatest need that you need upon this earth is that your sins be forgiven. And I'm telling you now, as God has allowed me to stand before you, even to study his holy word, even to be a participant of his loving grace, one who has been forgiven. I've been forgiven of my sins. And when I still sin, or when I do occasionally sin, he's still able to forgive me. And I'm telling you now, as one who received this awesome grace, you also can be forgiven. They also made a covenant with God. God made a covenant with them. And they made a covenant, they made a commitment to follow and obey God. They made his commandment to obey not only his covenant, but his commandments with their whole heart. When they heard the voice, they said, this will we do with all our hearts. They also made a commitment to build a portable worship center, which is the tabernacle, where the very presence of God himself would dwell and abide. God will be with his people. And this is what God now is giving the instructions to Moses concerning about the tabernacle. He's letting them know how to build it. You just go back and read in verses chapter 19 up to this point here. So again, the scene is this, that they had just experienced God's power and glory. They experienced his delivery and his provision, and now they are camped at the Mount of Sinai, which means thorny. And now they are waiting for Moses' return with God's instructions for the tabernacle. And when Moses was up in the mountain, he was in the mountain for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. That's 40 days. That's kind of long. He was up in the mountain. He was in the cloud of God, and they seen the glory of the power of God. And now, as I said before, what now take place as we look at chapter 32, this is an ugly picture, but it's a picture of our depravity. This is what it is. And you may think that you will never do these things, but if you are not in Christ, you will do them. And even as believers, if we are not careful and submitting ourselves under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to where we are disciplining ourselves, beating ourselves in subjection to the Spirit of God and His Word, we will do the same thing. The people now at the mountain, they is now a camp. And again, as I said before, the people's hearts are corrupt. The very people that God has chosen, they have broken their covenant with God. They have committed to follow and not to obey God. And again, this was so serious to God that the Lord God stopped giving instructions to Moses in building the tabernacle to deal with this terrible sin that Israel had did. Matter of fact, I like what one writer says in his commentary. He says the situation was so serious that three complete chapters of Holy Scriptures are given over to deal with the terrible sin of Israel. And I want us to pay close attention. I'm going to take my time in giving this because, as I share with Brother Rod, we got to see how hideous sin is in order for us to really appreciate the forgiveness of God. And especially us who are in Christ, we will even more humble ourselves in thanking God to forgive us. And when people trespass against us, we'll be quick to forgive them of their sins because we know what Christ had did for us. Look with me in chapter 32 and let us read from verses 1 through 6. And it reads, when you have it, just say amen. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, in the King James Version, I like what it said, up. It said, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Verse 2, and Aaron said, break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they say, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation that says, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offering and brought peace offering, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. This is a terrible sin about sin. This is a terrible picture about sin. This is a picture of depravity at its worst. And if you here thinking that you would not have did if you was in them days, you're sadly mistaken, you probably would have did it, probably did worse. It's the fact that how that God is still able to forgive as we will see this. But the question that we got to ask ourselves, what caused Israel to commit such terrible sin? Why did they do this? After they had experienced the true living God, after they have heard His voice, after they have seen that He led them by day by a pillar of cloud and by night by a pillar of fire, after He had fed them costly manna from heaven and gave them water to drink when they were thirsty, why would they now still commit this hideous sin? Well, I got a few suggestions and I pray that you bear with me. This first terrible sin or dreadful sin is caused by impatience. Notice verse 1 again, it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain." Remember, the Israelite was only on their way to the promised land, which is Canaan. They stopped at the mountain under their leader Moses. Moses has been gone for 6 weeks, 40 days. He's been gone for a long time. So what was happening? They began to speculate. They began to imagine. They began to question. And when the result of that, they became more and more restless until finally impatience gripped them. Is it that how we are at times in our situations? When we don't wait on the Lord, we immediately start taking actions instead of us waiting patiently on the Lord for His leading and guidance. And I have learned, Sister Akinette, that every time that I do that or act impatiently, I always get in trouble. Every time. It's not a time that if I don't wait on the Lord, it's like the Lord said, "Be still and know the salvation of the Lord." No, Mike, I got to go figure this thing out. Lord, you ain't moving fast enough. So we see that this terrible sin was caused by impatience. Secondly, this dreadful sin was caused by pressure from the crowd. Again, look at verse 1. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered to" who? Aaron. "And said to him, 'Come, make us God that shall go before us.'" Aaron, his name means light bearer or light bringer, excuse me. Aaron was left in charge of the people while Moses was upon the mountain. Yet now they are telling Aaron to take charge. "Take charge, Aaron, and you take us, prepare us to go to the promised land." So we see they had impatience, then they see they had pressure from the crowd. But thirdly, this dreadful sin is caused by suggesting evil to a weak leader. Aaron was a weak leader. Matter of fact, one of the commentators says he was tragically weak. He was weak in that. Again, look at verse 1. It says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed his coming down from the mountain, the people gathered to Aaron. And he says, 'Come, make us God that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" Instead of Aaron standing up for the God, he gave in. He gave in. And it's sad that we do not have preachers that have backbone. We got preachers that are standing behind this here sacred desk that are jellybacks. That's what my mentor, Pastor Wright, used to say, and I agree with him. Jellybacks. Your back is full of jelly. You just soft. You real soft. You will not stand for God. And you know, when you tell a man he's soft, he about ready to fight you then. But I'm telling you right now, there are preachers that are soft behind this pulpit. They will not tell you the truth. They will give in because of the crowd. I want you to notice what Aaron did, and we're going to go back over. Just bear with me. Look at verse 2 again. "And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the gold earrings, which are the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to" what? "To me." Look at verse 3. "So all the people broke off the gold earrings, which was in their ears, and brought them to Aaron." And again, verse 4, "And he received the gold from their hands and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a golden calf." Aaron should have stood up, but he didn't. I'm glad I have a pastor that will stand up. I'm glad I got brothers that will stand with me. I'm glad I got congregation members of this church that we will stand up. Huh? We will call sin just as it is. If you will not stand with us, as Christ says, you either with me or you against me. And I'm planning on being with Christ. I don't care what it takes. I don't care who like it. I don't care if my whole family disown me. Oh, well, I don't care. Look, I am going to stand for Christ. And it may be times that me and you may go at all, because if I'm coming with the word and you coming with the word, then we need to get together and see what the word actually says. But if I believe I am right, I am going to stand by myself. I don't care. Why? Let me calm down a little bit. I was getting angry then. Aaron was a weak leader. And we got weak leaders that are here behind this sacred desk who claim that they're preaching the word of God. I'm going to tell you one who recently came, Joel Osteen. You think he's a leader? I'm telling you, people, those of you who hear my voice today, whether you hear or on the CD, I'm telling you, that man is dangerous. He will not tell you anything about sin. He will have you to come to his service in your sins, and you will leave in your sins. Why? Because he ain't preached nothing about Jesus Christ. Nothing at all. Let me go on quickly. But fourthly, this dreadful sin came by the cause of believing in false God. Again, look at verse 1. There's so much in verse 1. It says, now when the people saw when Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods. How did they come to that? They say, Aaron, up. The King James Version say, up. Get up and make us gods. Not just a God, but make us gods. With the S on the end. And back in that day, the majority of the people believed in false gods. And the children of Israel was no different. Yet they just experienced the true and living God 2 months ago. They seen his greatness. They seen when he descended upon the mountain that he did not come in some type of similitude and some type of form that they could grab some image of the true and living God and say, this is our God. No, the Bible says when God descended on Mount Sinai, the whole mountain was in smoke, was on fire. And it shook. This was a spectacular scene. Yet now they tell Aaron, the weak leader, up. Get up and make us gods. Yet the scripture tell us, let me say this as a footnote. If you are here today and you believe in false gods, or if you are not worshiping the true living God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are worshiping a false God. For the scripture says in Psalms, you don't have to turn, in Psalm 96, 4 through 6, it says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Verse 6, honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. We are to worship the only true living God. And I'm telling you now, people, those of you who are not in Christ, that's who you must stand before. This one who is greatly to be praised. This one that is above all gods. This one who is the true and living God. This one, as we've been discussing in our Sunday school lesson, that extend grace to you, that allow you to hear this message. His unmerited favor, that's what grace really means, unmerited favor. In other words, God don't have to do nothing to you but to kill you and have you stand before him and cast him in the lake of fire. But he allow you to hear this message, or to hear any godly sermon. Not just mine, but he even allowed you to be here to fellowship among believers to hear the word of God, not Brother Mike. I'm not the Savior. God knows I'm not the Savior. Y'all know I'm not the Savior. Because what? I'm messed up. If y'all depending on me or Brother Rod or even this church to save you, you are in a world of hurt. There's only one true Savior. God says, I'm the one. I am the only true Savior. And I'm here to tell you that I came to give you life, to give it more abundantly. But fifthly, this dreadful sin is caused by disobeying God. Again, look at verse 1. As they said, come, make us God that shall go before us. They disobeyed God. They just heard him. Give the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have what? No other gods before me, nor make any graven image. Let me ask you a question. Who is your God now? Is the true living God is your God? Does he have preeminence in your heart? Or do you have an idol that you have put before the true living God? You do know that God says, I am a jealous God. That means he has the power to do away whatever you got or put before him. And he doesn't need your, permission, because he's sovereign, meaning that he can do any and everything what he want to do to who he want to do at any time. He don't need your permission to cast you in the lake of hell. No, he don't. Y'all better hear that. He don't need your permission to cast you in the lake of hell. He can do it if he choose to do so. But as we have seen that he is long-suffering, God knows he's long-suffering because I see it in me. You see it in yourself. They disobey God. And if you need a reference, go to Deuteronomy. That's as Moses was rehearsing that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. But sixthly, this dreadful sin is caused by believing deliverance is of man and not of God. Again, look at verse 1. There's so much in verse 1. They say, as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Now the people have credit Moses that had delivered him and saved him from the Egyptian slavery. They say, Moses is the one that delivered us. But how quickly have they forgotten the glorious deliverance of the Lord God himself? The Bible says salvation is or belongs to the Lord. You can go to Psalms 3:8 on that. They have forgotten his glorious deliverance through the plagues that God had plagued the Egyptian when he was delivering them. They have forgotten how that he delivered them from slavery. They have forgotten how he led them through the Red Sea. They have forgotten how his provision of water through the wilderness and journey of the desert. They have forgotten how he had provided manna and quail day by day. And even with that, they have forgotten how he had the wonderful guidance of pillar by day and a fire by night. They have forgotten that. Do we do the same thing, people of God? Do we forget how God has blessed us and we begin to get impatient, to go our way, to do our thing? Begin to disobey God? And as I put it in my notes, and I had to ask myself, I wonder, do we do the same thing? This is what caused the children of Israel to sin against God. 7, the dreadful sin is caused by giving and fear in the crowd. And as I mentioned that before, again, look at verse 2. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. If you go with me to verse 28, you will see that 3,000 people that did these things. Look at verse 28 of Exodus chapter 32. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of that day of the people failed that day. So it was 3,000 that gave their earrings, their gold earrings, their rings unto the weak leader Aaron. They gave it to him. Notice what the scripture says. Notice what it says here in verse 2. And Aaron said to them, break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and do what? Bring them to me. they did this all because of Aaron. And again, one of the commentators said it is, and I like how he said, true leadership would have cried out, this is idolatry. We must not destroy this golden calf. We must destroy this golden calf. You people are wrong in calling this creation of man your God. But Aaron was not a true leader. See, a true leader would tell you the truth. See, a true leader will love you so much that he'll tell you the truth. A true leader who loves the word of God, who loves God himself, will not only take heed to himself. I have not forgotten what Paul told Timothy. He said, look, take heed to yourself. He said, look, you need to preach the word of God in season and out of season. You need to love them so much that you would tell the truth. And if you be hated so well, oh well, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. That's where a true leader goes. And that's why you think, Brother Rod and myself and some of the other leaders, when we ask you to pray for us, that I be praying, that we be praying? No, I am asking you, please go into your prayer closet and pray for me. Just like I go in my prayer closet and pray for you, that you be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you will stand no matter what, that you will be the righteousness of Christ Jesus who have called you from eternity. Here, as he goes on, I'm still quoting, he says, Aaron, he is an example of one who leads by following popular opinions. And again, I'm going to bring up Joel Osteen. I'm getting in trouble. That, oh, well, fine. I'm going to use that. It doesn't matter. Joel Osteen, this brother here. Now, excuse me, Lord. Wait a minute. Let me check that. He ain't no brother of mine. No, he ain't no brother of mine. He does not preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His God is not the God of our Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has a different Jesus, not the Christ of Scripture. No, he ain't no brother of mine. Now I'm saying and I'm boldly saying, if I get in trouble, that's fine. I don't care. I stand by myself. I'm glad you're with me. They had a write-up on him, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I don't know, Brother Rob, I know he read it. And one of the things that the circular people were saying, that they like hearing him because he avoids talking about Christ. It says that he avoids talking about the themes of fire and brimstone, that his message is to where it can, that is so broad that all the religions can accept it. And guess how many, probably, I don't know how many was down there, but they was being fooled. They was being duped. I'm going to tell you right now, and I didn't say it, I said I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it, Joel Osteen is a hook booger preacher. I'm telling you now, he's a hook booger preacher and he will lead you to destruction. Jelly bag. The next dreadful sin is called by false worship. Look at verses 5 and 6. But I want you to notice also verse 4, and it says, and he received the gold from their hands. In other words, when Aaron was told them to give them the gold, he got the gold out of each of their hands. Yeah, willing participating. They brought the gold to him. He got it out of their hand. And notice verse 4, it says, and what? And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraven tool and made a golden calf. We're going to come back to that. But notice verse 5. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Look at verse 6. Then they rose early on the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. For again, the eighth dreadful sin that caused this by false worship, Aaron was flattered by the enthusiastic response of the people. And when he saw their devotion to the idol, he built an altar before it. Did you read that? Is you reading the same thing? He built an altar before this false god, the one that he fashioned with his own hands, with an engraving tool, with his own depraved mind. He made this golden calf. The word built here in the Hebrew word, bana, that's B-A-N-A, it means to build, to rebuild, to establish, here's the kicker, cause to continue. In other words, instead of him stopping, when he built the altar, he had the children of Israel to continue on in this dreadful sin. And this thing here, that's what scares me at times, that I may not live the life that is pleasing on the Lord, that I may cause you to stumble. My wife, she tells me oftentimes, you know, she get at me at times, calling me a ghetto preacher. And when she called me a ghetto preacher, that means I got to straighten up because I'm doing something wrong. Because it's important to me that she see the light in me, just as well as it's important for me to see the light in her. Just as important for you to see the example in me. It's important. To be a leader, I'm telling you, being a leader is not easy. Because you constantly being watched. They constantly beholding you. My wife still teaches me how to be hospitable. How you say it? I said it. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what it is. As a matter of fact, I was blessed yesterday just hanging around with Sister Aquinette. She just wanted to do good. Yeah, I mean, she was just love helping people. I said, "Oh, why can I be like that?" You know, yeah. And I see my wife the same way, and I see some of y'all saying you just love doing good. I said, "Lord, that's what I need to do in my life." Let me quickly go on. Ninth and the last, this dreadful sin is caused by indulging in food and drinks, party and illicit sex. We grown in here. Some of you still teenager, but you understand what I'm saying. Notice verse 6. Then they rose on the next day and offered burnt offering. Now, I want you to notice what they did. They rose up early the next day. That means that they had it in their heart. After Aaron had told them, look, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. But they would think, some would think that Aaron was trying to refocus them concerning about the things of the Lord after he had messed up. But I don't think that's the case here. I think Aaron, again, was a weak leader, as I'm beginning to see it. And he said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. So they understood what he was saying, and they rose up early. And on this hill, the Lord stepped on my toes and said, and one writer says it like this, says, people usually find a way to rise early for things that are really important to them. Now, Brother Rod, I said, ouch, I got it on my nose, I said, ouch. You know how we are, things that are important to us, we'll get up early and do it. I'm going to use me. I'm not going to use you because I know at times, my brother said, Brother Mike, and I'm telling on myself, be on time. Be on time for Sunday school. But I still find myself being late. Is it important to me? It must not. I tell you, this thing hurt me. I love Sunday school, but it must not be important to me to be on time. Why? Because if my job say, Mike, be on time, then guess what? I'm up, I'm early, I'm there. And anything else that we think that is important, we'll get up early and we'll do it. I say, well, Lord, wait a minute. Then me spending time with you is not important. me getting up, because, you know, I love to eat breakfast, and I think breakfast is important. If we say it's important, it is in its rightful place, but should we first get the spiritual food first? Is that not important? Spending time with God is not important. Praying is not important. Studying His Word is not important. We'll get up for it and everything else. Huh? We'll get up early enough, just as the children of Israel did. They thought by offering up to this idol was very important. And they got up. And they offered up an offering. The Hebrew word for offering is Allah. And I'm not going to go into that too much. But that sounds familiar. The Hebrew word is Allah. And that means to go up, to ascend. This is the burnt offering that which goes up. This is also termed as a continual offering. You'll find that in Exodus 29, verses 38 and 42. And this was to teach the nation of Israel that their sinfulness required a complete and continuing atonement and consecration. This was the burnt offering. And they offered up this to the idol. They were saying, golden calf, forgive us of our sins. Please continue to atone for our sins. Matter of fact, again, as I mentioned last week, that the Lord has given the children of Israel the ways of how they was to do burnt offering, and I will get into that a little bit more. But secondly, notice that they offered up a peace offering. Notice that it says, then they arose early on the next day, offered a burnt offering, and brought peace offering. This is an offering which means requital, sacrifice for alliance or fellowship, or voluntary sacrifice of thanksgiving. In other words, they was volunteering and saying, we want to have fellowship with you, golden calf. We want to thank you for delivering us out of Egypt. They rose up early in the morning and they did a burnt offering and they did a sacrificial offering voluntary. But now, notice that I want you to notice that this word play, it means reverie. It's the Hebrew word that means for play and reverie. It has the idea, because notice in verse 6, it says, after they have offered up the burnt offering and the drink offering, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. After they did, and I believe, like most of the theologians says, that they got this from the Egyptians as they did their sacrifice as well. But yet here it says that the idea is that what they was doing, this has the idea of a loose conduct. This has the kind of loose behavior when a people or when a person has been drinking or using drugs. In other words, they got loose. They had no control. Then also the word can mean cruel languages and laughter. So they were cussing up a storm, laughing. They was loose. They was wide open. There was no restraint. None. They rose up and played. And again, the word play again can be of sexual misconduct, engaging in wild dancing parties. Did you get the picture? Do you see what's happening now at the mount, at the Mount of Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, after God now has did everything for them, they now commit this hideous sin. They rose up and play. I can't say the words that is in my mind, Brother Rashad, but I know what they was doing. They was, because I've been in some of it, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you've been drunk, or if you've been partying, you know that at times you don't know what you've been doing or who you've been doing it with until you get up in the morning and say, what did I do? You know what I'm saying? What? You know what I'm saying? So I've been many times, as I told Brother Rod, I've been curve diving all the time. I'd be so drunk. I'm hitting the curve. That's what they call it, curve diving. I get up in the morning, I got marks on my face. Oh, who I been fighting? But they was wild drinking. They was lewd and dancing and immoral behavior. Look at verse 25 with me in that chapter quickly. The Bible says, now when Moses saw that the people, and some of you have the King James Version, has naked, but here in the New King James says unrestrained. And notice it says, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies. And if you want to know more about this behavior, for the sake of time, I cannot just carry you to the scripture, but yes, I can. Let me carry you to one. Turn with me to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 6, and look at verses 9 through 11. And we're going to quickly get back because I got to finish chapter 32. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. When you have it, just say amen. Okay, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not listen, people. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornication, nor idolatries, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortion will inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? Look at verse 11. And I love this. And such were some of you. That means you've been forgiven. If you are in this passage, such were some of you, that means we've been forgiven of our sins. And our lives have been changed. Our heart is now is a heart of flesh and not of stone. God has done a miraculous thing that no power could do. And that is to change a sinner into a saint. A one who loves God, who worship Him. And such were some of you. I love this because, see, I was in that mix. I was one of them such. But you was washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Go back with me to chapter 32. I got to finish. I want you to notice God's response. The Lord's response. Look at verse 7 and 10. Now, after they did all this, notice the response of the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down. And if the Lord teach you that, well, you're in trouble. Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have what? Corrupted themselves. Again, I want you to understand and know that God abruptly stopped the conference that He was having with Moses. He was telling Moses, look, this is how you make the tabernacle. You can read it in chapter 19 all the way up to this point. But now, after the children of Israel committed this sin, God stopped. He said, hold up. Get down. Get down. God shut the meeting down. That's what I put in my notes. And what the Lord told Moses, He told him, go, get down. And I want you to notice that God changes the pronoun. Notice what He says. He said, for your people... This thing was so serious that God said, your people. Again, it shows you how holy God is. That's what I'm trying to tell you people, especially those of you who are not in Christ. God is so holy, He does not play with sin. See, that guy Joel's thing, he would not tell you about sin.
He changed the pronoun. And I want you to look with me in these passages of scriptures. He did not call them his people. Look with me quickly. We got to go. Exodus chapter 3. I want you to see this. Look at Exodus chapter 3. So lick your fingers, your thumb, or whatever, however you turn it. Just turn with me. Chapter 3 of Exodus. Notice verse 7 through 10. And the Lord says, I have surely seen the oppression of what? My people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, the Egyptians, and bring them up into a land that is good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hebites and the Jebusites. All the ice. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel comes to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring who? My people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And I want you to notice a familiar theme that God says, and I'll point this out. It says, after Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go that they may do what? That they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Look at chapter 7. From the beginning, God has been calling them the people. Look at chapter 7, verse 4. But Pharaoh would not, and God now telling Moses what Pharaoh would do, but Pharaoh not heed you so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. Look at verse 16. And you shall say to them, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go that they may what? Serve me in the wilderness. You'll see that phrase constant from now on. Look at verse 8, 1. And chapter 8, chapter 8, thank you. Chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may what? Serve me. Look at verse 20 of chapter 8. I want you to see this. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, and as he is coming out to the river, then say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Look at verse 23. Well, look at verse 21. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into your house. The house of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. You get the picture now? God said, first of all, from the beginning, that these are his people. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell them, thus saith the Lord of God of Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Verse 13. The same chapter. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh and say, thus saith the Lord God of Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. In verse 17 of that chapter. And yet you exalt yourself against my people, and that you will not let them go. You get the picture now, brothers and sisters, men and women. God said from the day that he was bringing out the children of Israel, this is my people. But that dreadful sin that the people had committed, God was ready to disown them. He was
was ready to disown them. He said, those are your people. He changed the pronoun from mine to yours. Wow. Let me ask the question. Do we think God takes sin lightly? You think that now? Oh, man, I ain't going to finish, Brother Rod. Let me go with this here. Let me finish the verse 10. Go again to chapter 32. I want you to notice something. Verse 7. And the Lord said, Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. I want you to notice God's charge. First, he charged them of being corrupt. That word means to destroy, corrupt, to go to ruin, decay. They perverted themselves. They deal corruptly, morally. He charged them. Secondly, I want you to see that God charged the people of being quickly. Notice verse 8. Quickly to turn away. Notice that it says here, for they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves molten calf and worship it and sacrificed it. And said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Thirdly, God charged the people with false worship. Again, you see that in verse 8. They just experienced the Almighty God. Now, let me ask you a question, people of God. Do we do the same thing? Do we so quickly turn away after God has blessed you with things that you couldn't handle in a situation that you know that only God could have given, deliver you out of this? Now we so quickly turn away. Lord, thank you for blessing me. Now I'm going about my business. Yeah, now I'm going to go play. I'm going to put my idol back on top of my heart. The throne of my heart. I just thank you, God, for that. Now I'm going back to my business. Quickly turned away. God charged him. He said, they have quickly turned away. Notice verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. And indeed it is a what? Stiff-necked people. He charged the people of being stiff-necked. And that word means stubborn, hard, stiff, impudent, meaning you are shameless and boneless. You're bold and you're shameless. You know how we say the words that there's no shame in my game? You're right. There's no shame in your game, but the only thing is your game is sin. And you bold about it. You bold about your sin. God said, I have seen these people, and they are a stiff-necked people. They are disrespectful. They are obstinate. They won't turn from their sin, their lust of their flesh, the pride of life. I've seen it. Is God calling us stiff-necked people? Are you a stiff-necked person? Are you that stubborn? You think stubborn is a good attribute? The only thing we need to be stubborn about is staying on the narrow path. Yeah. That's it. He said, I've seen these people. Now look at verse 10 quickly. Now, therefore, let me alone. You better hear what God's saying here. He's down for the judge. Matter of fact, notice what he says. He said, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot. The King James Version has said wax hot. That means that his anger is building up. He told Moses, get away from me because my anger now is building up. Let me alone. And notice what he says. Let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. and I will make of you a great nation. In other words, God was offering Moses, saying, Moses, you can be the next Abraham. You can be the next father of nation. I am so hot with this stiff-necked people, I am willing to make of you a great nation. I can consume you in a minute. We'll see that in chapter 33. I can't get through with this. And I ain't going to try, like he says. Are you a stiff-necked people? Do you not know that God can consume you in a moment? Many of you think that you're here by yourself, by your own will, by your own strength, by your own power. Maybe you think that the breath that you breathe belongs to you. Maybe you think that that image that you have that is created in the image of God belongs to you. As I said before, who told you that lie? Who fooled you into believing in that? God, as we will see in chapter 34, the next time, he is long-suffering, gracious to thousands. And he's telling you now, those of you who are not in Christ, I am the God. And I dare not try to put words in my master mouth, but I read his word. I am the God who can forgive you of your sin. And we will see that not only he says, by no means will I clear the guilty. You think you're going to get away with it? He said, by no means. You better pay heed to that. He said, by no means will I clear the guilty. And this is what he was revealing to Moses. We'll get into that. He was letting them know because Moses said, Lord, wait a minute. I need your own presence to be with me. Because right now, at this point where we stop there, God's presence is away from his people. Why? Because he is holy. He is holy, people. And as I read before, in Peter 1:16, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the only way you can be holy is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be asking, how can I get like that? Well, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, that word confess, homologeo, meaning that you are confessing the same thing that God has already said about your sins. And you recognize that you are a wretched sinner that deserved the wrath of Almighty God. So now you throw yourself on the mercy of God, like the tax collector says, did. The Bible says that Jesus said, the Lord himself said, that the man didn't even lift up his head. He said, Lord, please be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. You must come to that turn, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would allow you to see that. That you could call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That your sins will be forgiven. That the Lord would not impute unrighteousness sin to your account. The God of the Bible.